Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Book of Joshua, chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, about 3,000 feet. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that ye will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man a tribe, every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, and beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were clean or completely over Jordan. And we know that God had promised the land of Canaan to Israel. But because of their unbelief, they wandered in circles for 40 years, not entering the land of Canaan. We read that in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. They did not enter in because of their unbelief. But in the book of Joshua, those years of wandering in circles of unbelief come to an end. Those years come to an end at this point. Moses had died, and now God comes to Joshua in chapter 1, and he says, Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. I will give you every place that you set your feet, just as I promised. And we read that in verses 2 and 3 of Joshua chapter 1. Now, Canaan does not represent heaven, because Canaan is a place that had to be won by hard work. But it does represent a higher plane of spiritual living. It does not represent, nor does crossing Jordan represent, the passing of the soul from time into eternity. but it does represent passing over from one stage of spiritual living to a higher stage of spiritual living. Land of Canaan, of course, was a land of blessing. Represents our enjoyment of the Lord. Represents the peace of God in the heart. Represents daily communion, daily fellowship with the Lord. It represents our walk, a close walk with the Lord. It's to enjoy the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. Canaan was, of course, a land of plenty. It is a very good picture of the abundant life that you and I are called to enter. But we see before they could enter Canaan, something had to be done. The Jordan River had to be crossed. There was no other way of entering. They had to cross the Jordan River. And Joshua chapter 3, of course, records that crossing. And for us today, the crossing of the Jordan River again represents passing from one level of spiritual living to another level of spiritual living. And in this message, we want to see the children of Israel as they stand before the Jordan River. We want to see them crossing the Jordan River. We want to preach today on the subject of crossing over your Jordan. Crossing over your Jordan. The main lesson of the book of Joshua is that victory comes through faith and obedience to God and His Word. The book of Joshua is a book of conquest. It is a book that tells us how that Israel not only overcame the enemy, but also occupied the land that God had promised. So let's look first of all at the situation of the children of Israel. They are brought face to face with the Jordan River. For 3 days, they camped out by the river. For 3 days, they could look at that river. For 3 days, they could see what was exactly before them. Joshua orders the Israelites to move to the edge of the Jordan River and to wait there for further instruction. By this time, there were nearly 2 million men, women, and children lodging before the Jordan River. They have their cattle, they have all of their baggage, and you can just picture this very anxious crowd of people, all waiting, all wanting to enter into the land that had been promised them. There's row upon row upon row of tents. And for 3 days, they are brought face to face with an insurmountable problem. For 3 days, they could look and they could stare and they could behold an insurmountable problem, an insurmountable difficulty, an insurmountable obstacle. Normally, the Jordan River would not have prevented much of a problem, but it's harvest time, and the Jordan River has overflowed all of its banks. Normally, at Gilgal, where they crossed, it was only 100 feet wide. But during the time of harvest, it was over a mile wide, over 50 times larger than it normally was. So there they are for 3 days, looking at this water. And the water, of course, is at flood stage, so it's raging. We see that in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 15. So it was flood time. The waters are raging, and there they are, camped along the Jordan River, right on the edge of the promised land. Just on the other side of that Jordan River is the land of plenty. Just on the other side of that river is abundant living. Just on the other side of that river is something better than they had right now. You have to also consider that their two great leaders, Moses and Aaron, their dead, and a young man named Joshua untried, untested, has been put in charge. And God told Joshua, I will magnify you this day before the people. That is, you will prove yourself today. You will prove that I am with you as I was with Moses. And if they're ever going to get into Canaan, they've got to cross that Jordan River. If they're ever going to get into Canaan, they have to cross that which was at this time seemed to be insurmountable. So as they faced this problem, as they faced this difficulty, this obstacle, I'm sure that there were many conflicting proposals offered on how to get across this river. And I'm sure some of them said, let's just go back. Let's just go back into the wilderness. We're never going to get across. Let's just go back. I'm sure others perhaps walked down the river a little ways and said, hey, it's a little better down this way. Perhaps we should cross down here. And I'm sure there were others who said, let's just stay right here. This is good enough. This is as close as we're going to get. And that's where many of God's people are today. They haven't crossed over into Canaan. They don't enjoy the abundant life. But they have settled, this is good enough. This is as close as I can get. No doubt they examined all the ways they could think of getting across that river. For 3 days, they sized up the problem, the difficulty, and the obstacle that was before them. And after 3 days of sizing up the problem, they became increasingly aware that crossing the Jordan River at this time was impossible. They could not do it in and of themselves. And the sooner we learn that lesson, the better off we will be. Because we cannot do it in and of ourselves. You see, by nature, we're proud. By nature, we're self-reliant. We are ignorant of the fact that the arm of flesh is frail because we're always depending upon it. We seem to forget that the arm of flesh is frail. And even when we're faced with that which is overflowing, that which is insurmountable, we seek to solve these things by our own wisdom, by our own efforts. But the Lord has ways to humble His people and to bring them into situations where they will realize that they're helpless. And this is what God has done now with the nation of Israel. He's brought them to the Jordan River and He's given them 3 days to look at. 3 days to contemplate it, causing them to realize we cannot cross this river in and of ourselves. If we're going to get across, God has to do it. And we've got to trust God to do it. The Lord not only brought the Israelites face to face with the Jordan River, but face to face with the fact that they had no means of their own to get across. That's a good place to be. That is a wonderful place to be. Because that is the only time that you and I will trust Him and lean upon Him. So God brought them to the end of their resources. They have no way of successfully getting across what was before them. But God had a way. God had a way. And you see, at this point, the Israelites could either cross that river or they could just settle being just short of the land of Canaan. And again, I'm afraid that's what many have done. They have settled for less than what God has for them. Now the application of all of this to us. We are to always be advancing to a higher plane of spiritual living, to a greater experience of the things of the Lord, advancing more and more into the enjoyment of the Lord, experiencing more and more the peace of God, and living more and more a more abundant life. But just like the Jordan River, there are things that get in the way of that life. We all know that. We all know that there are better things. God has better things. We can live better. We can have more spiritually. We all know that, or at least I hope we do. And I hope we never, ever are content with less than what God has for us. And we also realize that there are things in the way. We're never going to get there unless these things are removed, unless God clears the way. Just like the Jordan River, it's in the way. Look at your life. How many things are in the way? How many things are in the way of you possessing and enjoying what God has for you? There are problems. There are difficulties. There are obstacles that stand between us and the spiritually abundant life. We all have Jordan Rivers. We've all experienced Jordan Rivers in our life. They can take on many forms. Our Jordan Rivers today can take on the form of persecution. It can take on the form of temptation. It can take upon the form of sin, infirmity, trials, difficulties, afflictions, adversities, disappointments, burdens, needs, and perhaps the greatest Jordan River of all, self. These are things that stand in the way. And you see, these Jordan Rivers, they can be literal and they can be imagined. But either way, they're real. Whether it is a literal obstacle in front of you or whether it is an obstacle that you have imagined, either way, it's keeping you from crossing over. And therefore, it's real. It's real. There are many, many Jordan Rivers that keep us out of Canaan. These Jordan Rivers can be placed before us by the hand of God. God can put them there. Satan can put them there. Man can put them there. And many of them we make ourselves. Many of them are self-made. Jordan Rivers. But this for sure, no matter who has put it there, no matter what form it takes, if you are going to move from one level of spiritual life to a higher level of spiritual life, you have got to cross the Jordan River. You've got to get across it. That we know for sure. Just like the children of Israel. So we need to ask ourselves what stands between where we are in our walk with God and where God would have us to be. What is it that stands between those two things? I doubt seriously that any of us are 100% where God would have us to be. We are all somewhere in our spiritual walk. But what lies between where we are and where we should be? And what God would have us to be? Where we are and what God has for us? What lies between those two things? At times, these rivers may only be 100 feet wide, like the Jordan River normally would be, and fairly calm. At other times, the Jordans may be overflowing, flood stage, threatening, intimidating, and impassable, and insurmountable. But no matter what, you've still got to get across it. You've still got to get across that Jordan River. It is what stands between us and a greater experience of the things of God, and it must be crossed. It must be crossed. How many believe today that God has something great for every one of us? We that are saved. God has wonderful things. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about right now. But there's some things that stand in the way. And we've got to get across those things. How many of us can have closer fellowship with God? There are things that stand in the way of that. And we've got to get across those things. How many of us can have a closer walk with the Lord? We all can. There are things that have to be crossed. So it's what stands between us and the enjoyment, the Lord's blessing, and the abundant life. And whatever that is, it has to be crossed. When we face the Jordan rivers, we can go back into the wilderness. We can get comfortable and say, this is close enough. Or we can trust God to get us through the Jordan River. But one of those three things you will do. But we see that God caused the children, He called the children of Israel to cross over. Notice verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. Pass over this Jordan River. Cross over it. And there are many crossover times in our lives. Times in which we must cross over. Times in which we must pass over. It can be Jordan rivers in our own personal lives. They've got to be crossed. It can be Jordan rivers in our home lives or in our church lives. But no matter where it is, it's got to be crossed. And we do not have the means, we do not have the ability in and of ourselves. But God has a way. It seems impassable, but God has a way. God has a way through every Jordan River that comes into your life, through every one of them. Because the truth is, you cross one, guess what's next? Jericho. There's always something. As long as we're in this life, there's always something. If we're going to keep on advancing. So let's look at the children of Israel as they cross over. We want to look at what they had to do, what God did to get them through that river. First of all, the Israelites, as we've already mentioned, were brought face to face with the obstacle. Face to face with the thing that was keeping them out of the land of Canaan. I believe the Israelites believed that Canaan was something greater than they had right now. Canaan was something far more blessed than they had right now. So they believed on the other side of that river was something greater. On the other side of that river was something more blessed. And for 3 days, they could plainly see the difficulty that lay before them.
For 3 days, they could plainly see that they did not possess in and of themselves the means or the resources for getting across. For 3 days, they had encamped before that river which barred their entrance into the land of promise. The first step, the crossing over to a higher plane of spiritual living, the first step to crossing over to greater, to more enjoyment and greater experience of the things of the Lord, the first step to crossing over into abundant living is dealing with what's keeping you out. You're never going to get across. You're never going to set foot in Canaan unless you deal with what is keeping you out. And at this point, what was keeping them out was the River Jordan. They had to deal with that. They had to face that. And we need God to bring us face to face with what's keeping us out. And then we need to deal with it. And that's why God brought them to this point. Now, when God brings you to that point, you can close your eyes to the Jordan River that's right before you and convince yourself that it's not there. But you'll never get across doing that. And that's what many do. They know. They have a pretty good idea of what has been keeping them for years for enjoying a more abundant way of life. They know what it is. Or at least they have an idea. But they have chosen to close their eyes. You can minimize it. You can say, sure, it's a mile wide, but really it's probably not quite that wide. Perhaps we're just exaggerating. You can minimize the river if you want to. That won't get you across either. You can ignore it. That won't get you across. You can run from it. But you'll wander for the rest of your life if you do that. You can misidentify it. And that's what many have done. They have misidentified their Jordan. Now they're saying, I know what's keeping me out of Canaan. It's Brother Dan, or it's Brother so-and-so, or Sister so-and-so. You have misidentified your Jordan. You'll never get across. Cannot misidentify. That's why the Lord brings us face to face with it. Because it is our nature, it is our tendency to misidentify what is keeping us out. And what God did here was He caused Israel to face it, caused them to face what was keeping them out. We need to face it. We need to face what's keeping us from a closer walk with the Lord. Face what's keeping us from greater enjoyment to the Lord. Oh, it's my husband, it's my wife. No, you've misidentified your Jordan. It's none of those things. You need to face it. And until you do, you'll never get across. Then we need to realize, as we face it, our own helplessness. We also need to realize that no matter how turbulent and no matter how large our Jordan River is, God is greater. Whatever your Jordan River is, however wide it is, however deep it is, God is greater. Not only is God greater than your Jordan, God has a way across your Jordan River, no matter what it is. You may not know how to get across, but God has a way. And you can stand there and you can stare at it, you can ponder it, you can meditate upon it, you can size up the problem, size up your difficulty, size up your obstacle. Go ahead and do that. But while you're doing that, don't forget to size up God as well, because that's where many fall short. Oh, they size up the difficulty. They've measured it. They know how large it is. But they've forgotten to measure God. They've forgotten to put God into the equation. And you see, that changes everything. So the first step to crossing over our Jordan is to face it. That's the first step. Secondly, they were to listen to God's instruction. There they are. They're face to face with the Jordan River. And we read in our text that God told Joshua exactly how he wanted things to be done. Joshua then instructed some officers, and the officers went through the congregation of the people instructing them. If you and I are ever going to get across the Jordans that are before us, if we're ever going to get across those Jordans that arise before us, we have to stop and listen to God's instruction. You're not going to get across your own way. You have to see what your Jordan River is. You have to face it. And then you have to listen to the instructions of God, or you'll never get across. And that's what God did with Israel. But then notice in verse 3 of Joshua chapter 3. And they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." When ye shall see the ark of the covenant. Now the ark of the covenant is mentioned several times in this chapter. And it was that special piece of tabernacle furniture that symbolized the presence and the power of God. To Israel, the ark of the covenant represented God's presence in their midst. If you and I are ever going to get past the Jordans that arise in our lives, we have to focus upon God. God brings us face to face with our problem, causes us to see what it is. God then gives us instruction, and then we must turn